It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters, fantastic Friday. God bless y'all. I hope you guys are doing great. You've had a good week, and some of you that get time off in the weekends, and can't believe we're deep into April. The year is flying by, and it's so good to be with you guys today and with me today, and I'm really glad. Station manager, owner, and really personal friend, Jeff Morgan, is with me today, and we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. It's going to be casual but fun, but I brought some things to the table that I want to discuss with you all listening and as well as with Jeff. And so, Jeff, well, I should say welcome back from your trip, right?
Yeah, it was great.
You were in Europe.
I was.
And quickly, a little cliff note version, then we're going to do a deep dive on your trip a little bit later in the program. What's your thoughts real quick, Europe?
You know, I liked Europe. The weather was kind of like it is here. I mean, today's nice, whatever. But it was rainy. It was cold, especially when we flew into Amsterdam.
Schiphol Airport.
We were in Dutch territory.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's cold there.
Yeah.
This time of year. Yeah. It's freezing. And that wind whips. And my gosh. I mean, obviously, that's outside of the city. But I mean, inside the city is absolute chaos.
Yeah.
Everybody and their brother's on a bike. I think that's they have the most bikes per capita in the world.
Yeah.
In Amsterdam. And you better look out, man, because they're coming. They're dinging their bell at you.
Yeah, and just to tell you, to use the Dutch phrase, when you're on a bike, it's called op de fietsje, on the bike. And that's how you say it in Dutch, op de fietsje. And I know that you, and we'll talk about this a little later, you actually, probably for the first time in your very interesting, exciting life, actually set foot on a black and white Holstein Dairy. And I know that because you sent me a pic on a text on Good Friday of all days, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know how interesting my life has been, but
mine.
I don't know about that either, because you grew up on a farm and I know a lot of interesting things happened out there. But yeah, it was actually really cool to see how a huge family-owned farm, it's a business.
I mean, yeah.
It's amazing what goes on in the farming industry that nobody really knows.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just farming. It's cows. It was a dairy farm.
Yep. It's a Holstein one. That's the best I could tell. It looked like black and white cows on it.
Yes, it was.
Unless they had some mixed breeds floating around there.
Didn't see any.
Yeah. You'd spot them. It'd be easy to spot. No problem there. So.
But wow, what a great just business. And it's the eighth generation for that family.
Wow. That goes
That's
deep.
That's unbelievable.
That goes deep. It goes deep. And we're going to talk a little more about it, Jeff. I was really glad to talk to you last week and to kind of for you and I to come on, kind of give a little checkup on the program from your perspective as well. And lo and behold, after you and I visited, after you got home last a while back here in April, my brother-in-law in Manhattan, New York, sent me an obituary column, and that's not usually, you look at that, you go, crap, I don't want to look at that, but this was very interesting. It's the passing of a radio icon in the ag world named Orion Samuelson. He was 91 years old when he passed away. He passed away in March, this past March on the 16th, and he was born in Wisconsin, in Ontario, Wisconsin, interestingly enough, on their family dairy farm there in Wisconsin. No surprise there because Wisconsin had so many farms, particularly back in that day. The reason he didn't take over the farm was he had a leg issue with his lower leg, which honestly, if you're not physically able, especially back then, you aren't going to make it. And so he moved on into the radio world, and particularly he got into the Chicago area where he was on WGN. And WGN in Chicago is a big station. And, you know, they're right there next to WLS in Chicago. What happened is he started with WLS. They switched to the rock and roll format, world's largest station, I believe is what they called themselves. I used to hear them when I was in Iowa. Their signal on the AM dial part of it would go all the way to Sioux County.
How many watts are they?
That had to be a lot of watts.
100,000?
More than that, because the station I worked at in college, Jeff, KDCR, at the college I was at was 100,000 watt. But this was AM, and what happens, and I think you know that too, some stations are allowed to draw up their power at night, and some of them draw down their signal power. So I could be driving, covering a basketball game, which is what I did in college, and we'd flip on, you know, WLS. But this gentleman was such a prolific and well-respected broadcaster, kind of in the Paul Harvey, kind of in a sense, the Rush Limbaugh. They called him on this obituary, they called him the Elvis Presley of ag radio. And I'm going to, I just got this. No, I never heard of this guy before, but I appreciate my brother-in-law sending it. And I appreciate the New York Times giving him so much space. And he was so well-liked, so respected that if you'll recall politically back in the early 2000s, 2004, Dennis Hassert was the big time Republican congressman there in Illinois. He wanted Orion Samuelson to run for Senate against, guess who, Barack Obama. He wanted to run as a Republican because Orion was a Republican, didn't make a huge deal out of it, but he said, you got to run against this guy. And of course, well, that didn't happen. He had some health issues then, and he figured that would make it impossible to do it, just like, you know, he couldn't have been a dairy farmer back when he was in his early adulthood. But his other comment was, I just want to like people. And he didn't want to run. But in his life, he met virtually every president, because 91, you can cover a lot of ground, from Dwight Eisenhower all the way through Donald Trump. He's virtually had time with Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy. He knew John F. Kennedy when Kennedy was a senator. Before he ran for president. I mean, this guy got around. The awards that he has are too many to name, but he is in the Radio Hall of Fame, and to which I think is to his credit. And I think it's amazing that we have a man like this that did a lot for the ag world by getting the message out, talking about pricing, talking about politics, talking about international, because he also traveled and met Mikhail Gorbachev and other Fidel Castro, of all places, in Cuba. I mean, this guy was a player, and he did it in a very, very objective and open way. And I thought, man, I just wanted to say, well, you know what, to his family. And for me, it was kind of cool to go through, and I even went and Googled him and just kind of went through that. So that was something that came my way after you and I talked, Jeff.
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, what a tribute to this gentleman.
Yeah.
And I've never even heard of him before. I mean, if you haven't heard of him,
no, I didn't either.
I'm going to hear of him. But to be that engaged and that's front and center for the farm industry back in the day, I mean, now who's going to take his place? I mean, it's almost like is there another changing of the guard? I don't see it. I mean, you're doing a great job here, you know, with us, you know, locally, but nationally. Have you met a president yet, Jake?
No. We're going to morph into another great broadcaster here in just a second. But there is, we had on this program from the state of Washington there in Linden, Lee Milkey. And Lee Milkey has been not nearly at the level of this guy, but he himself wrote for and writes for a lot of dairy publications and has a syndicated program that gets all over. But, you know, for anything to work, particularly in this industry, Jeff, we got to bring people to the speaker so they want to hear it. I mean, you could be the greatest seamstress in the world and try and have a radio program with it, but are people going to come in and listen? And when you look at the ag industry and who's all in it now, when he started his career back in 1960 and he ran all the way, interestingly enough, until 2020, when this program, mine, probably kicked in just in front of when he probably said, hey, I've had enough of this, because he, you know, he went another 6 years to live. But when he started in broadcasting, it's just after World War II, and you probably had at that time in America 45, maybe 50% of the general public was involved in agriculture one way or another. Smaller farms, less automation, better pricing, but there were more people involved. And even when I look where you grew up in Southern California, I was just born ahead of you in Garden Grove and Artesia and Bellflower, which is near, you know, Anaheim, if you want to, you know, find a close spot to mark that, was all farm country. And it was loaded, because you're in Holland, a lot of those Dutch people that my parents knew we, my family, my folks and relatives immigrated from Holland to that area in Garden Grove, you would never know now. You wouldn't have a clue that that was a huge, huge dairy area. And they even had Dutch stores. They even had several Dutch churches that did their services, guess what, in Dutch language back in the 50s, 60s. So that just tells you when he started, that worked. Because people are going, oh my gosh, yeah, we're in agriculture. We need to know what the prices are doing. What are things doing politically? And all of that stuff. They probably, the ag world probably had more clout back then.
You're probably right.
In how that works, Jeff. So, you know, just not far from where you were born, just, you know, 10 years sooner, there was a lot of ag in Southern California.
It was huge, even when I was born.
Was it? Do you remember it all, Jeff?
Heck yeah. Late 60s, there was so much agriculture, especially where the Irvine area is. I mean, that was all orange groves or strawberry fields. That was it. And you could just see it up and down, you know, the 5 freeway, a 405 freeway, if you know those. I mean, there's a lot of Californians that moved up here. But
oh, yeah.
That's how we do things down there. It's all about a freeway.
And then move up here.
That's right. We got one.
All right. Jake Rural Matters, round one with the boss, Jeff Morgan, owner, operator, manager, good bud. We're going to be right back with more. Jake, Rural Matters. Hang on.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters. Door is wide open. Come on in. Listen up as long as you can. And I hope that we can hold your attention that you do that because I'm proud of what I do. And I'm so thankful for the life I had by God's grace. And Jeff, Morgan, so glad to have you come on in and visit. It's been a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about Europe on the back half of this program because I got some questions for you.
I like it. I'm here to answer them.
Yeah, I know you
if
are.
If I can.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know, I want to piggyback on the Orion Samuelson passing from this guy who did farm radio for 60 years. And the fact that he did it at a time is just, you know, World War II is still fresh in everybody's minds. And so agriculture as a whole right now, when you look at it, it does get a lot of interest. I think when food prices go up, people all of a sudden start to feel it more, just like they do when they look at the gas prices. All of a sudden, oh, this does have an effect on me. And so I want to move on to another current broadcaster, one that this station carries. That's Glenn Beck. And Glenn Beck has been doing radio broadcasting, and of course he has an incredible podcast that you can catch called The Blaze. I usually look at him on YouTube when I get a chance because I feel like he's relatively objective. He is a Trump supporter, but he's not afraid to go, what are you doing, dude? I mean, he will talk that way. You have to. We have to be objective, totally. And Jeff, what caught my attention this past week was that Glenn Beck had a short podcast, and it was entitled "Pray for the Farmer," and I thought, "Whoa, I need to see what he's got to say about that." And he went on to kind of do a brief little history about the American farms. You know, they used to be so many more of them, and that in that there was such a blessing for the fact that we had more of our culture involved in agriculture because it taught common sense things. It taught hard work. It taught, yeah, you've got to get this done now because the weather allows you to do it. You wait too long and you're going to miss a season. You're going to miss that important window that's open. And it's the Greek word is kairos. It's window opening of opportunity. When it closes, oh, you're screwed. You missed it because you've only got so many days for this thing to grow. And so Jeff, when I first came to you guys back, I believe 4 years ago, 2022, and we were working on getting this program going. And just to give people an idea of agriculture, what were your thoughts, Jeff, when you saw me, and what was your thoughts on agriculture as a whole?
You know, it's a good question. And quite frankly, I'm one of those people that really didn't know how the food I knew where it came from, but I really didn't know what the process was. And you kind of turned a light bulb on in my head saying, you know what, if I don't know this, then how many other people don't know what's really happening out there? And there was cause for concern, and there still is. And that concern is actually greater because more farms have gone out of business or just opted out because it's just gotten too darn hard. And so I think your show is a very valid service to our community because you've been in it.
Yep.
You've been in the trenches, you know the ins and outs, you know the struggles, you know the just the financial aspect of things and the whole pricing issue and where all that lands. I think it's vital that people know what's happening. And I think that you bring, I mean, when you brought this to me, I'm like, man, this is needed.
Thank you.
People need to know
what's
happening. And we know we deviate a little bit on the show, and that's okay. I mean, you've got to be diverse, and there's just different aspects to different things. But overall, I mean, just nationally and just locally here in the Willamette Valley, this is very, very important for everybody to know.
It is. One of the things that Glenn said, several things, and he was broadcasting. I believe he has a place out or ranch out there in greater Utah. I don't know where, but he was commenting on rainfall. And what people need to understand is the rainfall from this year affects the growing irrigation for next year. So you got a dry year this year. Sure, Oregon always seems to get rain. We get snowpack and stuff like that. But there are droughts, and farmers face water issues. And it's not even so much what comes down from, you know, the good Lord as he provides rain. It is the restrictions that the big bad government tries to impose on the farmers, where you've got all of this water. And particularly a couple of years ago, we had then GOP candidate Christine Drazen was on this program when she was running for governor. And her background is from Klamath. And that river there in the Klamath area is a big alfalfa growing area. And a lot of these farmers pay for the rights of the water there. Well, they got overrun by government because they were concerned for what I call polywalks. I mean, I don't know what the fish was. I don't even think they do anymore. But all of a sudden, now they can't irrigate out of there because that waterway has to be free and thorough and can't be sucked down for something like, say, crops, either animals or people eat. And it becomes this handcuffing experience where farmers are not only battling keeping their equipment going, keeping their morale going, and staying on top of all things price and what should we grow this year, what we shouldn't grow. Now they got to look at something and go, well, what is the government going to do to us now? And Jeff, I'm going to tell you, sometimes in sports terms, they change the goalpost. They move it out. They change the rules. And then the farmers have to rally to their various organizations, Farm Bureau, the Dairy Farmers Association, other things to get lawyers and fight this in and go against a government that's got how many lawyers and how much reserve. And here they are, they got to put all of their sweat equity and financial equity into fighting a government that is supposed to be working for them. Washington State, probably the worst one right now. It is very difficult right now in the Yakima Valley, fighting all of the restrictions from what they are doing there in Olympia, Seattle, and then not so bad here yet in Oregon, but then just go down to California. Just go down to California, Jeff, and face more of it.
It's just California's a train wreck. I mean, that thing needs to be just blown up and start over. And we're not there yet. Washington's getting pretty close, but, you know, one of the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, I mean, he did not want to see what we see right now. I mean, because right now we have a government that's, what, 51% of the GDP for the United States, which is asinine, number one.
Yep.
I mean, that just takes free rights out of everybody, because a government that's, you know, in Thomas Jefferson's word, a government that is big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have. And it's exactly what's happening, what you just stated with the farmers. They're changing the rules. They're changing the goalposts. They're making the waters free flow for some stupid little fish. Or maybe they're, you know, not allowing you to harvest timber because of an owl.
Yeah, and where did that get us?
It's absolute stupidity. And there's no better word for it. I mean, there's no common sense with, I mean, they've got nothing else to do but to create laws that just wreak havoc on the people. And they're supposed to be, like you said, working for the people. I don't see that at all.
I know.
And I hate to become cynical, but it's weird how I can see how older people become cynical because they've seen a thing or two. And it just comes down that road. This has been happening for a long, long time.
I would put it, if you look here in Oregon, and I looked it up just last week, I believe it was 1982 was our last Republican governor. And I believe that was Vicatia.
Mm-hmm.
You look to California unofficially. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was the last Republican governor.
Yeah, he wasn't.
And he was a rhino all the way. And I mean, he's just name only, but you know what?
We have some of those running in Oregon right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mention any names.
Not yet. We're in a time, Jeff, and we're going to continue on with this Glenn Beck video that I saw, because it really summarized what I thought was what's happening. And to have somebody of that level, because he's a player, Jeff, mm-hmm. right? You know Glenn on this program.
Heck
as
yeah.
well. And he said, pray for the farmer. And, you know, before we exit this first half of the program, I want people to do that, because right now the farmers are hustling out here in Oregon in the Willamette Valley. I noticed the hops are being strung. They've had plenty of good weather to do that. But they are fighting fertilizer price problems with what's going on in the Strait of Hormuz. And they've got other things that are going on, and we need to put them in our hearts right now, Jeff.
I agree with you, Jake, 100%.
Jeff with me, Jeff Morgan, Jake, Real Matters. Hang on, the news is coming up at the bottom of this hour, and we will be back with the back half of Real Matters right away.
The conversation continues on the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters of 1430 KYKN.
Jake, Rural Matters, second half of the show, fastest hour of my life. And if you knew what I did, Jeff, for a living, which you do, that's not saying a whole lot, because once in a while it is all about counting time, but we won't go there right now. But yeah, this is a great hour. It's so good to be here in the studio with you, Jeff. And we're going to talk about your European trip here in just a bit. I want to finish up with Glenn Beck. One of the things, Jeff, that really moved me about Glenn's commentary goes back to what he said about common sense values that you get growing up on a farm. If you're on a hog outfit, or in my case, a dairy outfit, you learn quick about, and I'm going to just use the term the birds and the bees. I'm not going to get graphic or anything like that. But Jeff, I'm going to tell you for the record, Jeff, especially speaking to today's audience, that I've never seen a trans cow. I've never seen, they are called, the females are called heifers and the males are called bulls. You flip them over and that tells you everything right there. And they've never came up to me like Mr. Ed in the old TV show and go, Wilbur, and say they wanted to trans out. And then I would have to go to my vet clinic and buy an obscene amount of hormones that I could not afford to accompany that. That's one thing that's not happening, Jeff.
You know, I think that the rule of thumb would be on the dairy farm, if one of your animals wanted to do that, you either put it out to pasture or you take them to the meat market.
And you make a lot of money. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And these things, really, he was very common, practical about it. He's practically picking my mind. And I go back, Jeff, when you and I did the Polk County Fair, we were wrapping it up. We'd put 2 hours of Rural Matters in there on that Friday, the weekend of the Polk County Fair, in August of 2025. And the comment that you made to me, because I was kind of focused down on all the stuff I was doing, was you just said, what a robust, healthy, happy looking group of young people from 21 down to 4-H, your 4-H or 9-year-old, just going, yelling. They're caffeinated within an inch of their lives, their energy drink, but they are focused and they are just, they're having fun and they're going to make some money. They're selling their animals. They're doing their stuff. Well, you know, what did you see, Jeff, that made you say that?
I think because they have a purpose. And so many kids, you know, just within the city limits, they have no purpose. They don't know what they've got their gaming boxes. That's what they do. Yeah. And so out there, you know, it's like just what you said. I mean, in the earlier segment, that they're out there working, they're doing something, they're using their physical, it's physical labor is hard.
Yep.
And so they're learning really good life structure and habits that's going to affect them and make them successful for the rest of their lives. That's exactly what you did.
Yep.
Growing up. I mean, me, not so much.
Yeah, but you were in construction, if I remember right.
Yeah, I was.
You got in that and
I worked hard. I mean, don't get me wrong.
No, I could see that.
It was different.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, we're seeing here in the Willamette Valley, and I have lots of opportunity to talk to my parents when they first settled here in the Willamette Valley back in October of 67 in Sile. That was our first rental farm. And it was very simple. I mean, it was about as raw as you could get. And by God's grace, we were able to get through some very challenging times there to get kind of where we could move to Mount Angel and actually my mom and dad could purchase a place. But my dad was saying to me, the very church that we went to, or that they still go to in Salem, at that time was literally 100% dairy farmers that went there from Jefferson, Albany, McMinnville, Amity, Newburgh, and then some of us, you know, east in the Silverton, Mount Angel area. And of course, there were other people going as well, but it was dominated by dairy farms and particularly the Dutch immigrants that my parents were. And Dad was saying to me, he said to me, my dad like is alive at 91 and a half, but he's often said to me, he goes, he'll do a kind of a head count and go, Jake, he goes, I think I have survived all of my colleagues. They have passed on. And a lot of them, the number was like 18 or 19. And I'm just being really off the top of my head with that. But that's not the only thing. We have lost a ton of dairies in the Willamette Valley, myself included. You and I were talking a little bit before the program. We all remember Mallory's Dairy back in the, from literally when this guy was doing his broadcasts. I mean, Mallory's was a fixture in Silverton, and they had their own processing, and he did a, they worked with Orville Roth from the Roth's Grocers, because they were both Silverton people. And they called it, I believe, probably about 15 years ago, plus or minus, because of a lot of stuff. It's money, and, you know, you still want to do it, and, you know, you want to invest in it. But what else, you know, too, Jeff, we've lost all these farms. And mainly, you know, the model has to work. It's a financial and a health issue and a quality of life issue. But we've lost a lot of strawberry farms. I mean, you look back, even 10 years ago, we used to have so many berry fields that you could smell the strawberries getting picked outside of Salem, going out in any direction from this town. And it's because, as one guy that was that I did business with told me, he said, it's harder to do the record keeping to keep all of these pickers, you know, all of their names, all of their addresses. Every day it changes. The record keeping, making sure you've got all your ducks in a row. It's harder to do that part than to grow the crop. And then you just kind of say, you know what? Put it into grass seed. I'll drive a tractor over it. I mean, it's really, really too bad in some ways how this valley, on one hand, has got so much diverse ag from nurseries all the way down, but we've lost, I think, one of the best ones of all between the dairy industry and strawberries, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't necessarily recall all the strawberries up here, but I know blueberries. I mean, those are going away.
Yep.
And you just look around.
Yep.
Everything's changing.
It's changing at quite the level. And this, the strawberries and the old bucking hay jobs were all ways to go back to the young people that we were talking about, were ways to make money during the summer, which is why we had summer, so that kids could come out and do that. And then their fingers would be covered with strawberry stains, which were like a code of honor. And you go, you pick for 4 or 5 hours. Back then you made, you know, $15, but you did that over the course of 2 or 3 weeks. You did something else after that, and you made your school money. You made your money to go to the state fair. You made your money to go out on a date on Friday. You're paying for it yourself. And I think that was kind of what Glenn Beck was even, not necessarily the way I'm saying it, but it's like, we're losing this. We got, you know, 2% growing for everybody. And those farm kids are doing all right. And some of the ones associated with them are doing right. But we've lost that. And then what do we see? We see riots of high schoolers in LA and Chicago. And then do we have to talk about spring break in Florida? And I mean, you know, Jeff, I mean, and you know, you growing up in Southern California, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think society's gone crazy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is due to the rural community, and everybody just is in a city, and they just don't understand really life in general.
Yeah.
I think everybody's just lost what God has put on our hearts because they don't have God. We're in a godless society.
we got to call it like
it
is.
It is what it is. And the morality issues, I mean, just look at all the issues that everybody's dealing with right now. I mean, mental health.
Yeah.
I mean, anxiety. Everybody's on drugs.
At a young age,
just go downtown. I know. And it's just like these kids. I mean, you got fentanyl, you've got heroin, you've got, and it all starts with marijuana that they legalized. And so really the government's absolutely our worst enemy because they're feeding it. And so if you keep feeding this thing and you make people stupid and inept and living on the streets, what kind of a society do you have? We have this one. And so you're talking about the 2%. I don't know if that's the percentage of farmers in this state.
It's basically a national average at this time.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And it's going to go down. It's going to go down.
Yeah, it is. If we continue on this pace, which I you know, unless something changes at the top, which even if it does and goes, you know, Republican, I don't know if it's really, if you're really even going to be able to change anything, at least not very quickly, because these things take time.
And they're embedded.
Now you've got a society that just thinks this way. They think they're entitled. They're entitled to everything. They deserve this. And it's just like, no, you don't deserve a dang thing. You need to go work for it, period. End of story. 100%. And that's what they do out there. And that's what the 4-H is all about. Sorry, I'm getting on a soapbox right now.
No, I love it.
It's really important.
It is. And I've seen where they're trying to maybe cut funds for it. I hope they don't, because I've had some of these FFA and 4-Hers sitting right here next to me, and they are the most animated, stoked up people in such a great way. It'd be a huge loss. But you know what? They've got it in them to fight. And so that's the good news.
Yeah, absolutely. It teaches them business.
100%.
You know, and you've got to understand, you know, what it takes to make money, because, and that's not what it's all about, but it's about, you know, being productive. They know how to be productive, and they have a smile in their face when they're doing it.
It's because you're creating. Jake, Real Matters with Jeff Morgan. Last segment. Right away.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters. Happy Friday. God bless to everybody. And so good to have Jeff. Jeff Morgan, you know, you helped me get in on the station. Started out with a half hour, and then things opened up, you know, kind of through a tough situation where I got the hour here on Friday. Jeff, I want to finish, talk a little bit about the young people that we saw at the county fairs, and I believe we're going to be doing them this summer. At this point, we'll see how things play out, and you know how we need to be there for these young people. Sports is great, theater is great, anything. And I guess, Jeff, what I would close with this part of our conversation to any young person or even their parents that are listening right now: hey, when you vote, you open up your eyes and you really take a good hard look at what people are doing. And with all the taxes that this state is doing to us, not to mention even federally, are we getting bang for our dollar?
I'll tell you what, Jake, all you have to do is drive down the road. How's your road looking?
Like crap.
And you know what? I see, here I go again, I'm sorry. But you know what? I see all these brand new ADA sidewalks out there that maybe 0.00001% are going to use in our city. And how many millions of dollars did we just flush down the toilet for that crap? And our asphalt that we're driving on is just in ruins.
Oh, yeah.
There's potholes everywhere. It's a joke. They Band-Aid everything. I don't know who's in charge, you know, in downtown Salem for, you know, maybe the manager's going to call me after this show. I don't know. And I don't care, because I'm pretty ticked off.
You look at the fact now they've got the new electronic meters down there. So if you want to park, you got to put your card in. I got to learn how to do that, because I'm like Biden. I honestly believe that when you put a dime or a nickel in the parking meter, you also were going to get a gumball out of the other side.
Oh, no, you're not going to get a gumball, Jake. You're going to get something else.
I know. It's terrible. To you young people, those of you that are going to vote, take a hard look at what you see. And try and really divorce yourself from the repetition that you think this party, this one party state, has done. It's not doing you any favors. And guess what, people, young people, this country's more yours than mine now. I just had a birthday, Jeff. I figure I was talking to my older brother. He's got his coming up. Anyway, 20 years, see what God gives me. I can gut it out, Jeff. For the most part, I could gut it out.
We don't have a choice, Jeff.
No, we don't. We don't. But you and I will get together and we'll talk about that, yeah. and it'll be uncensored.
It's always fun.
Yeah, totally. All right, we gotta talk a little Euro. Talk about your trip through Holland a little bit. What are you seeing? You just kind of came into the whole thing as the whole Iranian war kind of kicked in, Jeff.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were concerned. Oh my gosh, you're going to go to Europe? Well, there was nothing going on in Europe. I mean, it was fine. Holland, I'm going to be honest with you, Jake. I don't think I could handle living there.
Good.
And I'll tell you why. Because they're underwater. They're under sea level.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason why you see windmills in Holland. And I had no idea this is why it happened. But I mean, they go to different canals that are just a few feet higher than the other. And the windmills are pumping water from the lower end to the upper end and getting it into the river to send it back out to the ocean if it goes there.
Right.
So I thought that was really interesting. That actually is a cool invention that the Dutch invented because they had to out of necessity, and building all the dikes that they had to do. I mean, it's very impressive.
Yeah. How much time did you spend in Holland, and then how did you get on that farm?
You know, it was just a tour through the cruise ship that we were on. And so we decided we wanted to go see a dairy farm. We had the opportunity, and they're not just a dairy farm. They actually had a full cheese factory.
Wow.
And it stunk to high heaven.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you. Oh
yeah.
Goodness. It's terrible. But the cheese was really good.
Sure.
And the funny thing is none of them wear gloves. There's no anybody. Oh, whatever you call these
what,
people.
What, distancing or what?
Well, no, just they don't have any gloves just to touch the cheese. I mean, they're just using their hands. I mean, right. they're touching everything. You can't do that here.
No. No,
I think not because they don't have any diseases like we have over here.
So you spent some time in Holland, and you're working your way through. What countries did you hit? And why don't you just your takeaway, Jeff? What was your takeaway from Europe, especially this past month that you were there?
Yeah, so cruising down the Rhine River, I didn't know there were so many locks on it that just rocked your world. And take note, I mean, because you won't sleep at night if you do go on one of those river cruises. But, you know, it's amazing. World War II was a big deal, cruising up and down the Rhine River. There's, you know, cities got blown up, bridges got blown up. I mean, they had to rebuild a ton of them. And I don't know, I love the history there. It's really stinking cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just how old it is and how they used to have to do things back in, my gosh, the turn of the, you know, first century.
Sure thing.
And because we're talking Roman times. The Romans were in Germany in that area, and they built a lot of these first, you know, bridges and other things. The castles were incredible. I mean, it's a good thing to go see that history at least once in your lifetime, but I've got to be, the cities that I really enjoyed were Cologne.
Okay.
That's a really cool German city. And just how they set those up, there's always a square that people go to. There's a cathedral, there's a square where everybody meets, and there's food and there's tables and everything going on in this one area. And it's not very far. It's a block from the water.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. And every town was like that. You had Salzburg, France, which is just across the river from Germany. And so that was a really cool old city. And then Basel, Switzerland, where we ended up, that was spectacular.
And then you also got to Spain because your Kirsten's son plays ball.
Yeah, he does.
And so how many days did you spend down?
We spent 6 days in Spain. You know, I think we brought the Oregon weather wherever we went. And so it was raining on us. And, he's in a great spot in Gandia, Spain, playing basketball and just doing phenomenally well. And I think it's going to get better for him next year even as well. So really cool city. It reminded me a lot of Mexico, though, which is different than León, Spain, where he was last year, which was really old and had the old buildings and stuff, like a typical old city. And this was kind of like at bars in the windows, and it's like you were kind of in a ghetto in a way, but their crime is down. So really kind of weird. But yeah, the nightlife there, you got a lot of young people that go
right.
to those coastal towns. And so, yeah, a younger demographic. But it was fun. And there were volleyball courts all over the place. People were just enjoying themselves.
So do you think in Europe, I mean, you know, granted, you got the Cliff Note highlight version. Are they having more fun than we are?
It sure seems that way.
Okay, there we go.
I think our country, there's a lot of fear-based things going on, a lot of mongering. And, you know, you can't live in fear. You have to live your life. And they're living their lives. I mean, they're just doing their thing. And I think that's great. There's no worries over there. I mean, maybe there are, but you don't see it. And here you see it everywhere. Yeah. There's so much propaganda being spewed at us all the time, all for control.
Right.
I mean, really, that's what it is. That's what fear, everything's fear-based, so you can be played one way or another and be controlled if you want to be.
Yeah.
Or just give your life to God and don't worry about it.
So if you give your life to God, don't worry about go to Europe, man. You're getting a double whammy in a good way.
No, it is good. I mean, really, it gives you a heck of a lot of peace in a world that has none.
Yeah. You know, how are they, you know, granted you're in a, you know, tour group and everything's, you know, somewhat choreographed, but what were their feelings towards, Americans?
Everybody on the cruise was an American, except for we hung out with some Scottish folks.
Okay.
Which lived in the same town that my ancestors came
there you
from
go.
In Edinburgh.
Right on.
So yeah, that was a great conversation. We hung out with them quite a bit and they're older. I mean, they're retired. Yeah. They're, you know, 20 years older than we are and maybe more, but yeah, super cool people. But everybody else is from California or Texas or New York.
Right. So, and they're doing what you're doing, but did you get out a little bit and kind of get a little flavor of the culture as far as, you know, interaction with people outside of people selling you stuff?
Yeah, everybody was super nice. I mean, wherever you went, most people spoke English, and if they didn't, you know, you can kind of fake it till you make it, but everybody was super cool. Everybody had a smile on their face. Even Germany.
Yeah.
We took them out, you know, in World War II, but nobody thinks about that stuff anymore. Everybody was really happy. Everybody was happy that we were there and they were happy to serve us and it was great.
Right on. Rate of exchange there, Jeff. How far that you went with, you know, the euro,
think,
or how did that all
euro
play out?
Yeah, euro is about a buck. I think the dollar is 1.19 to 1 euro. So,
okay.
So, you know, 19 cent difference in their favor.
Sure.
So that's things went a little bit farther in your own mind.
Yeah, sure. But that's all right. But you would go back. You'd go back and visit again.
Of course.
It was a good experience.
Absolutely.
And it was good for you. And you got through a lot of it. You got through a lot of Europe this time around again, because I think it's your second time.
Yeah, I did Mediterranean last year, which I would go on that again before I went on the river cruise, to be honest with you. That's spectacular.
A little warmer?
Yes.
A little more sun?
100%.
Yeah. You California guy, you got to have your sunshine. You know, Jeff, we're looking forward to here at the station and trying to navigate what we see going on. And, you know, what do we say to the people that are listening? You first.
I think that we just need to do what's right and control what we can control just within ourselves and just the people that we serve and the people that we're around, especially our families. So just do the right thing. If you do the right thing, then good things are going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's very true. If we humble ourselves before God and we look to not so much numbers per se, but as I was visiting with a very good friend of mine, sometimes we're just a ministry of one person God puts in our lives. And make a difference for them, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And certainly anybody listening here, you know, I'm a believer, you're a believer.
Yep.
And with that, Jeff, we just knocked this baby out. Rule Matters. We'll see you guys next week. Jake, Jeff, happy Friday. Good weekend, everybody. Talk to you again next time.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rule Matters every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.